To thee, O Lord, have I lifted up my soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, with these words from the 24th Psalm, the Church opens the first Mass of the liturgical year and the season of Advent. To thee, O Lord, have I lifted up my soul. It is for us an invitation to prayer, for prayer is nothing other than the turning of the soul toward God. God is not far from us, though we cannot yet see him face to face as we desire. We need only turn to him to obtain his assistance. The psalm continues with these confident supplications. In thee, O my God, I put my trust. Let me not be ashamed. Neither let my enemies laugh at me, for none of them that wait on me shall be confounded. Wait for the Lord, expect him, desire his coming and his presence. This is the spirit of Advent. The world prior to the coming of Christ laid in darkness. Now Christ, the light of the world, has come. However, each year Advent reminds us that there is still much darkness to overcome. In our souls, there remain much ignorance, blindness, coldness, and faint-heartedness. Our minds, hearts, and wills must be ever more illuminated by the light of Christ. Society, too, can lay very much in darkness, even as did those pagan civilizations of bygone days. And Christian civilizations provided much light in times past. But alas, today, there remains only the last vestiges of that civilization, and only in some places. The world today lies very much in darkness. France, known as the eldest daughter of the Church because she was one of the first nations to publicly profess the Catholic faith after the baptism of King Clovis I, nevertheless began to be ravaged by the powers of darkness at work in the so-called Enlightenment, which led to the terrible French Revolution and the late 18th century, and was a revolt not only against order, but against the Catholic religion upon which it was founded. The secularization of France, and really in many other nations, starting more or less around this period, would never really come to an end. And Europe today, sadly, very much represents both revolution and secularization having come to complete fruition. The revolution in France was soon followed by the turmoil of the rise and fall of the Napoleonic Empire from 1799 to 1815. And there would be a brief, albeit modified, restoration of the monarchy in 1815, but not without another revolution in 1830, followed by the annihilation of the monarchy in 1848. So this was the political context leading up to the famous apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary at La Salette in southeastern France in 1846, where the practice of religion among the population was at an historic low. Given the deplorable state of the once Catholic nation, it will not come as a great surprise that La Salette is where Our Lady appeared as weeping in tears. The seers of the apparition were two peasant children, 11-year-old Maximine Giraud and the 14-year-old Mélanie Calvat, who, though Catholic, were themselves somewhat victims of their times, having received only the most elementary of instruction in the knowledge and practice of the faith. Nor were they particularly devout, for at one point during her discourse, Our Lady asked them, Do you say your prayers well, my children? To which they replied, no, we say them hardly at all. Our Lady responded, ah, my children, it is very important to say them at night and in the morning. And when you don't have time, at least say an Our Father and a Hail Mary. And when you can, say more. The children present in our church today, and indeed, all of us should remember these words of Mary the next time we're tempted to omit our prayers. The full weight of these words is felt when heard in the context of the entire apparition. Our Lady speaks of her role interceding on behalf of men before her divine Son, but which cannot avert the just wrath of our Lord when we refuse to turn from our evil ways. Our Lady explains the occurrence of many a calamity and misfortune as a direct consequence of unrepentance and as punishment for sin. If the harvest is spoiled, she said, it is your own fault. For failure to heed warnings, she predicted a great famine. If my people will not obey, she lamented, I shall be compelled to loose my son's arm. It is so heavy, so pressing, that I can no longer restrain it. How long have I suffered for you? If my son is not to cast you off, I am obliged to entreat him without ceasing. But you take not the least notice of that. No matter how well you pray in the future, no matter how well you act, you will never be able to make up to me what I have endured for your sake. What was Our Lady's principal complaint about the people at that time? It seems, above all, it was their lack of religion, by which we mean the virtue of religion or religious practice. This practice is what truly defines a Catholic society. It is the devotion with which you, the faithful, and the clergy of two, fulfill their religious duties. Mass attendance, observance of Sundays and holy days, respect for the name of our Lord and holy things, and mortification, especially by fulfilling the precepts of fasting and abstinence, which were much more demanding at that time than they are now. It was the disdain of these observances that so saddened the Blessed Virgin. She singles out the non-observance of Sundays by unnecessary work and neglect of mass attendance, as well as constant swearing with our Lord's name in vain, as two things which make my son's arm so burdensome. Her words, I have appointed you 6 days for working, she said. The seventh I have reserved for myself, and no one will give it to me. Now, while America has never been a Catholic nation, nonetheless, religious sentiment was once stronger in this country, including the observance of Sunday as the Lord's Day, in some sense among the general populace. It is therefore a sign of the times that Sunday is more and more considered an ordinary day, like any other. Each of us would do well to ponder Our Lady's tears and complaints as regards the observance of religious practice and the manner of speaking. While our neglect in these matters may not be so grave as some Frenchmen of that era and of society today, we must all acknowledge that the secular mentality has infected us to one degree or another, even if only in very subtle ways. We must use the name of our Lord only with great reverence, yet we must also not curse and not use crude language. We should also refrain from speaking disrespectfully of those in authority, whether ecclesiastical or civil. We may respectfully criticize our leaders when warranted, but to speak dishonorably of them has always been considered a vice, which dishonors the office these leaders hold. As regards the observance of Sundays and holy days, hopefully we never miss a massive obligation without a justifying cause. However, our mentality may still be affected by the ambient secular culture. We might see Holy Mass as a mere duty to fulfill as quickly as possible so that we can get on to the other things, rather than as the center of the Lord's Day, worth every bit of time it takes, and even more if our duties allow us to make some preparation for Mass and then a thanksgiving afterwards. The religious attitude is in particular at the heart of solemn liturgy, like a high mass, which brings together ceremony, chant, blessings, and so on, the entire purpose of which is the public honor of God by his people with majesty and without undue haste. Perhaps we waste a good deal on Sunday instead of spending time with family or time in prayer, or to recreate in healthy ways. Perhaps we're not as careful as we should be to avoid the unnecessary labor as commanded on this day, consecrated to the Lord. Our Lady is clear that she wants this day reserved for herself. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, our Lord taught, condemning Pharisaical rigidity. However, that does not mean that the day belongs to us. It is truly the Lord's day, not ours. There is a correlation between the formation of a Catholic society and its degree of religious observance, which, when healthy, augments its expression, growing into beautiful devotions, both in church and in the home. It begins to express itself by way of processions in the streets and religious festivities and traditions. So as we begin a new liturgical year and at the approach of a new civil year, let us begin to make note of significant feast days and days of devotional importance in our calendars. Let us strive to make these more a part of our lives by attending Mass, devotions, and religious festivities if we can, or at least observing them in our homes if we can't do more. This is a good time to consider whether sports and secular activities, praiseworthy as they may be, are determining our schedules more than the liturgical calendar. And we all have limited time, we can't do everything. Sooner or later, something has to give. Let's not let that something be our faith and religious practice. Our Lady came to La Salette with a motherly yet stern warning with regard to decline in religious practice. She has for us nothing but love and benevolence, and she wants to help us. But we must heed her warnings if we wish to benefit from her motherly protection in a society that is more and more hostile to God. We must cease ourselves to offend God and put Him back in the center. What better time than now, at the beginning of Advent, to turn more earnestly to God and lift up our souls to Him? To Thee, O Lord, have I lifted up my soul. In Thee, O my God, I put my trust. Let me not be ashamed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.